Good afternoon. This is the public session of the Due Process Committee. And I would like to note that we have a quorum and we have two new members joining this committee. The first item is a update of the technical activities of the Due Process Committee. And I would like to ask Henry Rees to introduce this paper.
Thank you very much, Chair Teresa. And this is paper 1B. So by way of background and thinking particularly of our new committee members, this is a paper that the technical staff table at each Due Process Oversight Committee meeting. It's provided to keep you informed and up to date about the progress of the board and the interpretations committee with the projects on the work plan, as well as report on any other technical activities since your previous meet. The paper doesn't require any specific approvals of the committee. When required, which will be when specified by the due process handbook, essentially, we typically prepare a separate paper for the committee's consideration. So for instance, when we ask you to approve a shortened comment period or ask you to review the due process on a major new standard or a post-implementation review prior to their finalization, we table a separate paper outlining the key matters for consideration to obtain your confirmation. So we're not asking for any specific approvals today, but the report does highlight a couple of due process decisions that the board is required to inform you about. And more generally, it's obviously important to keep you informed about the due process decisions the board is making, as well as various other matters relating to its work and also the work of the Interpretations Committee. Now, I have made some revisions to the format of the paper since the last meeting. In particular, I've revised the format of the various tables that were included in the last few reports of the committee with the aim of trying to provide a more complete, but I hope also a more streamlined overview of the projects on the work plan. So that's the table in Appendix A, which covers all projects currently on the work plan, split between the research, the standard setting projects, and then the maintenance projects, and then the taxonomy projects. I'm going to take this paper largely as read today, but if you just turn to page 2, and so this is paragraph 6, if you're looking at it electronically, I'll just use this summary on this page just to highlight a few key points before we open up for any comments or questions. First, you'll see that the board has published a number of major consultation documents in the period, and these have all been highlighted in previous reports. And you'll also see on this page that the board has a number of other important consultations which are planned to be published in the next couple of months, including the agenda consultation, request for information, and the exposure draft of the revised management commentary practice statement. And I suppose what I wanted to just highlight was, and you'll have seen it through the commentary in the paper, is that one of the difficult judgments for the board remains getting the balance right between allowing stakeholders sufficient time to provide high quality feedback through the consultation, but also getting that balance between maintaining momentum on the projects. And so in trying to navigate that balance and helping with that, I think what the board has been doing has been making or reviewing decisions around the length of consultation periods close to the publication day, so it can ensure that it reflects a current assessment of the situation that stakeholders are facing, as well as also just gathering informal feedback from stakeholders about the challenges they are facing, or any challenges they're facing responding to the various consultations that we're producing at the moment. We are in a phase where we do have, you know, a number of major consultations in play. Now, to date, all of the major consultations published recently have got comment periods that are longer than the minimums specified by the due process handbook. But probably just worth highlighting, for the upcoming agenda consultation request for information, the board decided that 120-day comment period that's specified by the due process handbook, that remains appropriate, given what the board is doing there is they're consulting on broader strategic matters rather than detailed specific proposals. And also reflecting the fact that the overall timing of that consultation was delayed as a result of the pandemic to help stakeholders, and has been delayed, I think it's by 6 months. But clearly this whole area of consultation periods is an area that we just continually have to monitor and just keep our eyes on. Another point I wanted to flag briefly was the fourth bullet on this page. And this is about the project that's looking at extending the relief for rent concessions. So it relates to the leasing standard IFRS 16 and these rent concessions given to lessees as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. I just wanted to report the project is proceeding well and to plan. You'll recall the trustees discussion on the 1st of February. And following that discussion, the board decided to publish an exposure draft proposing a one-year extension of the relief that they granted last May. And the proposals are very much all in line with how Sue explained it at that meeting on the 1st of February. The exposure draft had a very short comment period of 14 days, which the trustees were required to approve and approved at that meeting on the 1st of February. And the consultation just closed last week. Despite that short comment period, we have received, I think it's about 50 letters. We also gathered further feedback through outreach with investors. So I think it's probably worth highlighting to the committee that as we stand today, the staff are very comfortable with the breadth and the level of the feedback that we got on this consultation, despite the short consultation period. Now, the staff are still finalising the analysis of the letters, but overall, there's broad support for the proposals, and they're very much viewed as being a pragmatic response to the situation that we're in. So the next steps are the board will hold another supplementary meeting next week to consider the feedback. And if it confirms the proposals, the board will be looking to publish by the end of the month to sort of give certainty on this matter. So it's proceeding slowly, and it's proceeding to a fast timeline. I think all of the other points are really self-explanatory. Maybe just to highlight the last point really is a matter of just notable process, which is that the board for the first time completed its new due process step around interpretation committee agenda decisions at the December board meeting. So effectively, after the interpretations committee had agreed on a final agenda decision that related to these so-called reverse factoring arrangements, the board was then asked to confirm at its meeting, which was later that month, that it did not object to that agenda decision in line with that new requirement that's gone into the due process handbook with the revisions last year. And you'll recall that the procedure is no more than three board members can object. No board members objected, so the agenda decision was published in IFRIC update. So I think, Teresa, that those were the only points I just wanted to highlight to the committee. But if there are any questions or comments, I'm happy to take them now.
Thank you, Henry. And may I now invite comments from the committee members or the public? Michelle. Michelle, you have muted your phone.
Thank you very much. Sorry for that. Yes, a question in relation to the new process we have in place for the interpretation committee and the approval by the board. We saw one decision that has been actually vetted by the board. Maybe could you comment on how this is working and the sort of delay this may create in the process or not? And you have a number of decisions that are pending approval, I understand, from that Appendix B. That if someone could comment on that, that'd be great. Thank you.
Do you want me to, or do you want to, Henry?
So you'll probably say it better than I do, so over to you.
Well, that's not fair, but I'm Michelle. So what we've tried to do is to try and have the process in place so that at the board meeting that's directly after the Interpretations Committee meeting, we are primed and ready with a paper to take to the board, so that our objective is that there would be only a sort of a matter of weeks difference in when the approved agenda decision is out in the public domain relative to what would have been the case under the old process. And we're doing everything we can internally to make sure that we've got board members aware of the issues, up to speed, et cetera, in advance of that discussion, both to reduce the risk of us getting in a situation where we suddenly find out we've got board members who disagree with something in the analysis, but also to make sure we've got as much chance as possible to get through in one board meeting straight after the committee meeting. So our sort of plan, and so far, based on a sample of one, the reality has been that it hasn't caused a delay. And I think it's seen positively from people I've spoken to that the board is involved in this process. So I think it's so far so good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so just to confirm, Michelle, it's not like there's any backlog at the moment. You know, there was one final agenda decision to confirm in the period, and that one was confirmed relatively quickly after the interpretations meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from anyone? If not, let's move to the next item on the agenda, which is in relation to the IFRS taxonomy consultative group. I will invite Rachel Nubley and Issa Rutter to present the paper. And the purpose of this paper is to seek approval for changes to the ITCG charter to bring it in line with the other advisory groups and to remove the role of the vice chair. Now, these are changes which will reinforce the link between IASB and the ITCG, and I have reviewed the paper and support the proposals. So may I now ask Rachel to present the paper?
The paper's actually going to be presented by Issa, so I'll hand over to Issa. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you. I think it was a very good summary already, but since I prepared mine, I'll have a go. It's going to be brief. So we are going to talk about agenda paper 1C for the discussion of the IFRS taxonomy consultative group. And we are going to have, we are going to ask you if you agree with three proposed changes to the IFRS taxonomy group consultative charter. First change is to clarify that board selects ITCG members, while the POC only reviews the proposed composition of the group to ensure an appropriate balance of perspective. This clarification is in line with the recent changes to the due process handbook that clarifies that ITCG operates under general principles as other consultative groups. Second change is to discontinue the role of vice chair of ITCG. We think this role is redundant because we think the technical staff could support ITCG chair. The last proposed change is to make IASB chair responsible for the appointment of the ITCG chair. This change is in line with those for other consultative groups, for example, emerging economies group. If you disagree with that change, we ask whether you agree to extend the term of the current chair, who is an TARCA ISD member. The proposed changes are illustrated in Appendix A of the paper. I would also like to note that the board agreed recently to renew terms of 7 out of 20 ITCG members. This change does not affect composition of the group, so we do not ask questions about that. We are open to any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Isa. Any questions from any members or members of the public, please? Michelle.
Thank you very much. There's either actually one comment and one question. The question was just a clarification. When Article 362 of the DPOC due process handbook says that the DPOC reviews the proposed composition of each group, what does that mean in terms of, is that a post-nomination process? Is that before nomination? What are the implications of that review, if someone could clarify that? And the second was related to the vice chair. I understand the staff can support, but don't you think that from a continuity and business continuity practice, it's actually helpful to have a vice chair? Is that a consideration that was given to maintaining actually that position? Thank you.
Should I respond to those two questions? In relation to reviewing the composition, what would typically happen is that if we had a significant change to the membership, in this case, we haven't got a significant change, we're just doing renewals, but if there was a significant change, we would bring the proposed composition of the group to the DPOC to ask you whether you would agree with that proposed composition, and only after we'd had that agreement from you at the DPOC would we then look to actually confirming the appointments with those particular members. In relation to the vice chair, we did look hard at whether to continue the role of the vice chair, but we really didn't see that the role was actually adding much to the group. Much of the support activities that are mentioned in the charter are actually performed by the staff, and so we felt the role was largely redundant. I would also note that many of the other consultative groups that we have don't have vice chairs either. Mm-hmm. Again, it was just a matter of not seeing the need, effectively a redundant position.
And is it not the case, if I may add, and Rachel can answer this, that the position, the vice chair position, has been vacant since April of last year?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Michelle, are you happy with that response, or that response?
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
I have Joanna, who has raised her hand.
Yeah.
Joanna.
Yeah, thank you, Teresa. And Rachel, my understanding is that this is, and I guess I'm asking for clarification, that this particular charter is the first of perhaps a number that will be looked at to make sure that they do comply with the DP handbook, due process handbook, because, you know, we're making sure that they are all in line. So along with Michelle's question around complying with those bits of the handbook, am I right in saying that?
Perhaps I could hand over to Henry for that. I'm the ITCG group expert, okay, but not the, right, the broader expert. So I'll hand you to Henry, if I may.
Yes, thanks.
Over to you, Henry.
Sorry, Teresa. I was just going to say thanks, Joanna. I think there's probably any sort of need to broadly change other charters for the groups as a result of the revisions to the due process handbook. I think this ITCG was just one group where effectively the DP has been involved in the membership previously, but with the other groups they've been working more on the membership has come for approval to this committee rather than being appointed by this committee. We have got two groups which effectively are the trustees are form those groups, and therefore they review the memberships of those groups as well in terms of the appointments. So they deal with the appointments around ASAF and the SME implementation group. However, you know, we're constantly looking at these charters for the other groups, and you know, we've got two groups where we have to look at the membership this year in the light of where those projects have got to. And of course, if there's any need to make changes to the charters, we will do so. So I suppose my answer is I don't think there's any sort of obvious need to amend them, but we'll keep them under review as need be.
I just wondered whether, Richard, I know that you are on this call, whether you would like to add anything in terms of direction of travel, in terms of the review of the terms of reference for other longstanding consultative groups that we have.
Certainly. So there is an annual review of advisory groups which is undertaken, and we report that, I think, probably in Q4 of this year. And that's a review of how effective the groups are. You may recall that we've been working on KPIs for that, key performance indicators. We've got some good quantitative indicators. The qualitative ones are more challenging, and we'll get back to you later in the year. Henry's mentioned the two groups that are where the members are actually appointed by the trustees. Those are for specific reasons. We may well look at those further to see whether it's appropriate for those to be addressed through this committee rather than the trustees at large. I think ASAF has a specific characteristic and constitution which is important. The SME interpretive group support group is slightly different. That might need some further consideration. But generally speaking, those are very long-standing groups. The usual advisory groups are set up for a specific purpose and have a finite life. And so it's sensible for them to be dealt with through the due process oversight committee because they are a key part of due process. The ITCG is special because, of course, it has its own section in the due process handbook, the appendix to the handbook, which deals with it. And that's slightly more challenging.
Thank you, Richard. Any more questions from any members or the members of the public? If not, then let's move to the next item on the agenda, which is the 5-yearly consultation on the board's work plan. I'm going to invite Nili to present this paper, and before we open it to questions from the members and of the committee and the public.
Okay, thank you, Teresa. And before I start, I just wanted to let you know that I'm joined here again by Rachel. You just met her a few minutes ago, but she's a member of our senior staff, and she's a woman who wears many hats. In addition to the leading the taxonomy team, she's also overseeing the day-to-day work on the agenda consultation. Hopefully everybody has had a chance to read Agenda Paper 1D on the agenda consultation, so I won't go through each slide in detail. I just wanted to raise a couple of points. First is that the purpose of this paper is really just to give you an update on the discussions that have taken place over the last 18 months with you and the full trustees regarding the board's agenda consultation. Since our last discussion, the board has discussed in public and has made decisions about the content of the request for information, and we have summarized that in the paper for you. The board has also reviewed a draft of the request for information, and this is the document that goes out seeking feedback from our stakeholders about what the board's priorities should be over the next 5 years. And the board in February voted in favor of publishing this RFI, which we will do so at the end of March. In February, the board also decided on a 120-day comment period, as Henry mentioned a little bit earlier. But again, as he also mentioned, this is something that we will be monitoring just in light of stakeholder capacity with COVID-19 challenges and all of the other volume of consultation documents, and just keep tabs on whether that is sufficient for the high quality feedback that we do need from our stakeholders. So the last bit I just wanted to flag is that this agenda paper includes a summary of all the content in the request for information. It includes the questions that we will be asking in the request for information. This was something that you had requested we provide to you when we met our last in-person meeting in Brussels back in February 2020. And then we've also included a slide of how we've complied with our due process requirements to date. So with that, I will turn things over to you for any questions or comments.
Thank you, Lily. Guillermo.
Thank you, Teresa. Thank you, Nili. I have one question. Do you have a sense of how engagement has gone in the last few years with this process? Have we gotten more engagement from the, those we seek comments from? Has that been coming down? I'm asking just to get a sense of whether this process is working as intended, or we should be doing something a bit different just to get more engagement of the high quality that you say we need, Lily.
That's a great question. So in terms of the engagement on the agenda consultation, that remains to be seen. That's what we'll start once we publish the request for information at the end of March. What we've done so far to engage with our stakeholders is speak to our consultative groups and our advisory bodies to get an initial sense of what are the main priorities, what are the main topics that they're seeing as they do their day-to-day jobs. And the reason we asked that question was that we wanted to make sure that this request for information describes the main issues that our stakeholders are seeing, so that when we ask for feedback, the descriptions align, so that our stakeholders are speaking the same language that we're speaking. So the engagement that we've done so far hasn't really been to this state to ask for what the feedback is. It's really just to develop the content of the request for information. Now, going forward, what I will tell you is that I have heard some feedback expressing concerns that there might be some challenges in trying to respond at the same level that they've historically done, just given all of the consultation documents out there, given COVID-19. And like Henry said, that is something we continue to monitor.
And as a follow-up, I think that it is very important to give enough time to stakeholders. So if for some reason this needs to be, if the comment period needs to be widened or lengthened, I think it should be considered.
Okay, thank you.
Michelle. Was it an old hand? So sorry.
It's an old hand, I apologize for that.
Not at all. Okay. Any other questions from any other members or the members of the public? If not, then I think the last item on the agenda is for me to ask if any correspondence relating to the DPOC attention has been received. At the time of...
So there's been no further, no comments received.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Unless anyone has any other questions, if not, then I draw the public call to a close.